Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Dover salaries for the Cup Series. I'm going to give you my initial thoughts. But first, remember, May package, $30 at RaceForThePrize.com. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, send the money over to me. I'll add you to the sheet. Do it now. We'll start at the bottom, work our way to the top. Probably won't spend much time at the top because they're all expensive. They're all priced where we expect, and we know the routine at Dover. If you don't, you're going to need lap leaders, hogs, dominators, however you want to frame it. You're going to need three of those drivers, more than likely. And there will be some fast laps that get scraped off from drivers that are top five that don't necessarily lead laps, but will also be expensive. They're going to be in your laps. Now, as for value, we will look. Remember, if you've watched my videos during the week, the values are not magical or mysteries. We can look at previous optimal lineups, which you can access in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet or watch my previous videos. Typically, our value are drivers who have had speed during the season, have speed in practice, and then run where they should run, maybe get a couple spots throughout the race, but they aren't giant place differential plays. They're not guys that benefit from strategy or cautions, miracle picks. For the most part, they're value drivers that have top 20 days and just have better performances than the other cheap drivers who don't. And we can typically just look at the data and project who's going to run well. The drivers that you like that are cheap, the one that runs the best, will likely score the most. There has been an occasion where we get some strange qualifying orders, rainouts or whatnot, that force your hand a little bit. If that's the case, then you may need to explore the absolute punt picks. But we'll know that situation when it unfolds. Let's pretend it hasn't unfolded. So then that means I don't need to chase Kaz Grala, despite finishing well at Texas. But again, as I've repeated all week, it's very tough to look at that Texas data because, as we predicted, it would be a funky race with cautions and strategy and situations unfolding. Don't expect Dover to play out the way. Expect Dover to be a green flag race. Although Rick Ware cars have been, acceptable, it's not a place where I want to play him. Harrison Burton struggled all season. Not a place where I want to play him. Hemric doesn't have the car. Again, what are we looking for? Speed this season. Doesn't have it. Speed in practice, probably won't have it. He will qualify in the back, and it's going to appeal to some DFS players. But as I mentioned, that home run place differential play has not worked in the past. His upside is limited because his finishing position is limited. He's not just going to work his way through the field in this car. Same could be said for Zane Smith. Maybe you slightly consider Justin Haley among this group. He has run the best. But really, the guy you want to look at is Todd Gilliland, who, for my money, is mispriced. We look at the data, and we see how these drivers are running this season. He has been a very solid driver. We go over and we'll look at Dietrich data, which is kind of like an advanced driver rating system. And we look at the specific tracks outside of road courses and restricted plate races. His 0.48 score ranks 20th on the board, meaning he is around a 20th place driver, and you're getting him at 5,500. So does he meet the criteria? Does he have speed this season? Yeah, he's been around a 20th place driver. Can he finish around 20th? Yes, and he is very cheap. So he, right now, is one of my favorites. Corey LaJoie, his Texas data is kind of misleading. He gets a 22nd place finish. 29th, though, in driver rating. And even my Dietrich data rating doesn't give him a very good score. And I suspect a lot of that is because, at least for driver rating, that they factor in speed. And the way that the first two stages played out, he was able kind of just to nurse the car around in the back and not really exhibit much speed. When he was running and competing, he was a top 25 car. So I like the direction that they're heading in. And I like looking at Texas data specifically zoomed in to see, all right, did you run well during the sequence? Was your car okay? Because if your car is improving, then you're going to unload a little bit better and you got a chance. So he's definitely on the board. I like Todd Gilliland a little bit more, but I think they're turning it around a little bit. And he has run well here in the past and been in optimal lineups in the past. So I will consider him in that criteria of a driver who could come away with a top 20 day, and he provides a significant amount of savings. I really don't like what Austin Cindric is doing this season, but he has improved his finishes. It is a Penske car, and he is 5,700. So I think you have to add him at this point. Don't like it, but the reality is we are spending a lot on these Larsons, Truex, Byrons, Hamlins. And I think we're going to have to go down to this 5,000 range. That doesn't mean I want a $5,000 driver starting 35th who is slow. If I get a $5,000 driver starting 22nd, who could advance a couple spots in position, get a top 20, that's going to meet my needs. Corey Heim, the Legacy Motor Club cars across the board have not been adequate. Jimmy Johnson has spoken about this. The data shows this. Eric Jones, and you can see in my note, has gotten a lot out of this car. He has really lifted this car up. Pit strategy has really lifted this car up, and it's performed a lot better than where it should. Now, Corey Heim jumps into the car with a busy weekend. Do we really believe that he is going to be able to get what Jones is getting out of the car? I don't. I think you get a similar performance to John Hunter Nemechek, probably a little bit lower. I don't really like going to Heim. Just not on my board. AJ, not really going to consider it again with these cars not being very fast. Maybe you consider Hosover, who is similar to Eric Jones, probably getting a little bit more out of the car that he has. And that's kind of been his cup of tea throughout his career. The Nice trucks, although he did have the preferred Nice truck with the preferred crew chief at Nice, they weren't the greatest. They weren't the Ross Chastain tier. But again, that's another driver who tends to get more out of a car. Carson Hosover gets more out of a car. He's on the board at 6K. So I like Hosover. I like Cindric. LaJoy is there. Todd Gilliland is there. These are the value plays that I'm really starting out with who are going to give me the savings that I need to build at the top. And again, it's worth repeating, I'm not necessarily chasing place differential. One of these drivers obviously is going to start farther back than the other. And that's fine. And they definitely will be more appealing. But I also have to remind myself, I really need drivers who are going to run well all day in the top 20 all day and finish right there. And so chasing that place differential pick may be a mistake. It may be safer and wiser to take one of these value guys that's starting a little closer to the front, which typically is not the strategy. A lot of the guys don't like to do that. But that's also a good thing because you can deviate and differentiate from the rest of the DFS field. It's more than likely most players are going to be on these drivers, and it's more than likely that they will chase place differential, not zooming in on how Dover necessarily plays out and how previous optimal lineups have played out. And the guy starting close to the front goes lower owned, wins, and wins you to GPP. As I mentioned, not crazy about these cars. Again, these new Toyotas, they're not very good for Legacy. They haven't figured them out yet. It's not a surprise. This is also a new experience in this car for Jimmy Johnson. And also, you go further and you look at how his career kind of declined. This guy used to drive overpowered race cars. Good overpowered race cars. These cars drive differently. Although he does got that Texas race under his belt, and so he should be a little bit better. And Texas and Dover are statistically his best tracks ever. It's just not going to happen, folks. You just can't. I mean, like as Kyle Busch consistently says, you can't drive a slow car fast. Not that interested in Priest, although he did get a good finish at Texas. But remember, Texas is a little bit misleading. It is complete. I mean, you have to zoom in on specific runs to really get excited about certain drivers, because it was just a wonky race, as always. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I like him at the Dovers. I like him at the Bristols. I like him at the tracks that rubber up, and you've got to play different grooves, and he has had solid finishes, and his stats are about what Stenhouse does. They're very mercurial. They're up and down. You know the risk that you're getting yourself into. They did show an improvement in speed at Texas. I am always slightly biased towards Stenhouse, so that has been said and has been known. If you don't like playing Stenhouse, I have no problem with that. But if there is a track that kind of suits his ability, then this is going to be one of them. Michael McDowell is very cheap, was having a really good Texas race, had a top 15 car. Didn't get the finish that he deserved, but that can be said for a lot of drivers. But a 15th driver rating, which tells me the Michael McDowell machine had speed, so checks that box, and he had speed in practice, qualified well. If he can replicate that at Dover this weekend, especially in practice, he's going to be a highlight for us. Daniel Suarez, 6,700. I believe this one's pretty low, terribly priced. Wasn't that great at Texas. Flukes his way into a good finish. No big deal. But generally, track house racing at 6,700, you like that anywhere, especially at concrete tracks, especially at Dover, Nashville, Texas. These are tracks where track houses had success in the past. Suarez has had success. Again, what, top 15s in two of the last three. He can get her done. Not interested in Dylan. Gregson, 6,900 is a possibility. They've been running generally well throughout the season. Gives you a little bit of savings. I like going down a little bit lower to some of those guys, but if you're putting two in a roster, Gregson and one of the 5K guys works fine for me. Briscoe, I mean, you can't argue with where he's been finishing lately, so he is right there with Gregson. But as I start to spin more, it's going to make it tougher for me to go higher. I will need to see a little bit of place differential. I'm going to need to see a little bit out of practice. Josh Berry was running pretty well before wrecking. They are generally headed in the right direction, but I don't understand why these guys are priced up to where they are. I think they should be more in the 6K range based on the general trend and the specific track that we're at. Not really that crazy. I mean, if I'm spending 71 and 73 on Berry and Briscoe, I'm just going to find the money to get up to Bowas, Kozlowski, Buescher. I don't think they'll have that miracle finish or pull off the magic with the cautions that they've been relying on. Brad Keselowski's been pretty outspoken that they don't have a lot of speed. But at 7,700, you don't really need a lot of speed. Bo Wallace does have speed. And I don't expect him to dice it up with the top tier or the elite. But a 15th place finish should be what he absolutely gets. He could get into the top 10. And at 7,500, he squeezes into that lineup maybe as your fifth pick. With a $5,000 driver, it makes it work. And if we are considering Bubba Wallace, then we can't completely dismiss Buescher and Kozlowski. Despite not having speed, they do find ways to get forward. I'm not really excited about rostering them, and I don't want to completely give up because BK is pretty critical of his team. But they clearly have slid down. They are not JGR. They are not Hendrick. But they're better than Stuart Haas cars. They're right there. And you know, some tracks, they definitely will elevate, especially the short flat tracks. But this is not necessarily a place that's suiting their speed. Now, they could find it at any week. That's why you can't completely count them out. And a lot of times, the beauty of Kozlowski and Buescher is, let's see what they do in practice. Because Texas, they weren't fast in practice. They weren't fast in the race. So that does not sit well going into Dover. But if they are able to show some speed in Dover and actually make some long runs and not stop three or four times during a practice session, if they make all these changes because their setup just didn't hit, you should probably not play them like we suggested at Texas. If Brad goes out and runs a bunch of laps in practice consistently, consecutively, then yes, you're going to elevate them. We expect that from Bubba. If any of these three drivers show up and have speed in practice, it will be the 2311 Toyota. And so he's probably the highest on the list, and he saves you money if that's the way construction unfolds. Now, if we can somehow find a way to get up to 8,200, Tyler Reddick is grossly underpriced. When we look at where I rate him in driver data, he's number 6, 0.73 at the tracks that matter, unloading with speed everywhere. Texas, he was the best driver. Period. I do not understand how he's 8,200. We're coming off a Texas race. That is the most similar in comparison to Dover. I know some people may disagree, but it's pretty close. And there's a lot of setup similarities. And speed correlation. Reddick is way too cheap at 8,200. This is pretty much a jam him in situation. When we're building that lineup with maybe two value picks, three drivers from the top, Tyler Reddick is going to slot in as your fourth pick very easily. His ownership is more than likely going to be through the roof. And after a fast practice session, I think, which we can all assume, it's going to go even further. Reddick, right now, number one play on the board, makes all lineups possible. Gibbs could fit that mold. Kind of not living up to what we expected after the first handful of races, but Texas was a good bounce-back spot for him, so he could unload with some speed at 8,500. We'll see where he qualifies. Now, some people will freak out if he qualifies too close to the front, but if he qualifies towards the front and stays up front, he's going to scrape off fast laps. And for Reddick and Gibbs, they don't really necessarily need to lead laps. They run in the top five all day, which they're more than capable of doing, scraping fast laps that make up for their lack of place differential possibilities. And I think most people are going to lack place differential possibilities. So you factor that out, and then you factor in their price. They become very good point-per-dollar plays. Not on Logano. Just a top 10 car at best at the moment. Busch, probably not even a top 15 car. Alex Bowman, DraftKings got way too aggressive with the pricing. If he's 8,300, he'd be all over it. But 93, he's been a 15th place car. I know at Dover, if you want to get crazy and say, well, he's more like a top five at Dover, that's fine. But at 93, it's still not going to help us because, yeah, who else are top five or top one cars? These guys. And I just don't see him at this price working. Yes, great track for him, great track for Hendrick. Despite his struggles this season, he can definitely have a big weekend, but just doesn't work. Blaney got better last year, ended up in the optimal lineup. For the most part, he has struggled at this track. But once we're starting to spin up in this range, I really need to put my money towards the top. So Blaney's not going to work. And then you've got this six groups of drivers, seven. It's up to you. You're going to look at practice. You're going to look at starting position. You're going to look at track history. From Larson, Truex, Byron, Hamlin, Bell, Chastain down to Elliott, any of these drivers can lead laps, run fast laps. We'll see where they unload in terms of speed. We'll see where the Cole qualifying effort is. But right now, these are the three guys that are probably going to be your first, second, and third picks. You throw in two value, and then we're looking at Reddick down to Bubba as our fourth guys in, possibly. That's the construction I see early in the week. Thanks for joining me, guys. Like the video, subscribe, share, recruit more people. May package, $30. I'll throw in Dover. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, DMs, emails, send them my way. I'll respond, respond to all the comments. So blessed that you guys keep listening and growing this channel. We keep hitting milestone after milestone. It is awesome. You're helping out with the 3Ds, Mickey D's, diapers, and daycare. Did it in reverse order. Because Mickey D's is more important, I suppose. Thanks for joining me. Love you guys. Trips are like fantastic.